Let's stand to read that tonight. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight, Lord, as we look into this new year. May we be challenged to walk close to you. May we be challenged to give ourselves completely to you. And we ask you tonight, Lord God, that you would meet our needs in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I heard a lot of people say that every year they make resolution and they promise themselves to do something in about 2 weeks. They kind of get over it, amen. And I would hope that we'd make some New Year's resolutions in our lives that we would carry on. I think one very good one was regarding praising God. I think that we have missed so many times. We're about our business. We're about God's business, but we forget that the reason why we're at His business. We're there not because our parents make us and not because the preacher screams and hollers at the pulpit. It's because we want to praise the Lord. We want the Lord Jesus Christ to be glorified. We want to magnify Him before everyone we're at. I don't think you ought to be an idiot. I don't think you ought to be stupid. I don't think you ought to be ignorant when you do it. I don't think you should be so heavenly minded you ain't no earthly good. But I think a man ought to praise the Lord. I was working with a gentleman one time. I was trying to get some money like I seemed like I always had when I was starting out in ministry. And I was up on the rafters of this steel building. And we were screwing the trusses together, and came down off there, and he said, "Hey," he says, "today's payday." I said, "Well, praise the Lord." And he looked at me and said, "What are you praising God for? He's not paying the bills, I am." So he said to me, and I said, "Sir," I said, "let me tell you something. If it wasn't for the Almighty God, you and I wouldn't even be here. He's the one that spoke this world into existence, amen. He's the one that formed us from the ground." I preached a little sermon there, amen. He said, okay. I praise the Lord. Everything we ought to do, we ought to praise the Lord. Everything that happens to us, we ought to praise the Lord. The Bible says we're always giving thanks in everything. You said even the bad times, you give thanks to God. God knows what He's doing. He's taking you through some things that you have no idea what you're about to experience. Some of the worst things of your life may be the best things that ever happened to you. Amen. Some of the greatest things that ever happened to you, they're not important to you. I remember my coach said the worst thing ever happened to you, to a team is to keep winning all the time. And then he said, you start thinking that you can do it, and you don't need to practice, and you don't have to work hard. Hey, he says, when you win, that's when you have to work harder. And I found in the ministry that the days that we had, the great days and the days that things happen, that's what it seems like right now on the corner is when we let up and we trip and we fall and we damage ourselves and damage others. So may I encourage you this year, may I encourage you, first of all, that you'd praise the Lord. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 9, verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Tomorrow you'll read that in your reading, in your verses if you read five psalms a day. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. I tell you what, that sure helped you at home. That hurt sure helped you at work if the praise of the Lord was always in your mouth. Amen. Psalm 89:1, I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever, and with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Every one of us ought to be praising God around our children, around our family. It was never a time in our car that we didn't praise, I didn't praise the Lord about something going on. Amen. God is good all the time. All the time, God's good all the time. God is good for us, and you and good to us, and merciful, and righteous, and glorious, and justice, and perfect. He's magnificent. He's just meticulous. He's mighty. He's a wonderful God. And to think all the things He did for you, you wouldn't be here tonight. You don't have anything to offer to God. God has all to offer to you. Secondly, I think not only we ought to regard, praise God, we ought to be regarding our prayer life. Our prayer life. I'm going to go out of this, and hope I can get back to it, but I want to get something here. Hang on. I want to read you man said this about prayer. All that God is, R.A. Torrey said this, all that God is and all that God has is at the disposal of prayer. Prayer can do anything that God can do. And as God can do anything, prayer is omnipotent, R.A. Torrey. I think many times we forget to pray. We forget to really get to God in prayer. He has it for us. He promised to give us, He promised to take care of us. He promised to love us. And He promised to be with us at all time. So prayer. 1 Corinthians, it says, what shall I say this then? I will pray with the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 5, and Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. So it is our responsibility to praise the Lord. It is our responsibility to pray. It's also our responsibility to that in our daily walk that we would regard Him. Psalm 26, verse 11. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity, redeem me, and be merciful unto me. Psalm 16, verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So our responsibility is to praise God and then to pray to Him and then to walk with Him. I don't know about you, but I sure do a terrible thing if I don't walk with God. I start doing my own thing, thinking my own ways, conjuring up things that I think that should work. And one man said, you're scheming instead of praying. You're really scheming. Boy, if I do this and I do this and I do this and I do that, just maybe this. But God says, no, I want you to do this. And we fight Him. We fight them. Number four, regarding my meditation. I think that we miss this. We're not much of a meditator anymore. We hear the bling of our iPads and our iPhones and our Razor phones and our blueberries and blackberries and whatever. And we just really don't have too much time to meditate. When's the last time you just sat down and meditated on God's Word? Just thought about it. Well, I said, I don't have time. Why not? Well, I'm trying to keep up with Facebook, and I'm trying to keep up with my text, and I'm trying to keep up with my email, and I'm trying to keep up with, hey, you know what? You're not going to be able to keep up. In fact, I found a message yesterday. I had a little time by myself, and I was running through my messages here. I found a message clear back on the 11th of December. I hadn't even answered it. I got so much, so many things going on, and I just don't have the time. If I don't see it right then, I probably will skip it or not see it. There's certain things in my life it's not going to get to. Dr. Jack Hiles used to say, I do what I can. And they said when he passed away, they found a whole bunch of mail that was unopened in his back of his room. You know why? He said, I can do what I can do, and that's all I can do. And sometimes in our life, we get so busy about what we're supposed to do and what we're supposed to think, and hey, first of all, being a father is a great responsibility. It's a great responsibility. Those kids are more important to you than anything else in this world. And you've got a job that keeps you away from your children all the time. Personally, I think you ought to be checking out for something else. God will take care of you. Amen. And He will give you what you need. Not what you have to have. Because there's a lot of things I have to have, but I really don't need them. And next week, tell me how your kids are doing with that toy you bought them. Or that, whatever. Can't find it. Must be important. So regarding my meditation, I think that we've lost that as Christians. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he day and night. You'll never be much of a godly person if you do not meditate in God's word. That's a promise. Meditate. When's the last time I meditate? When's the last time I just sat down and read the scriptures and just let it burn in my heart? And then when I came to something, I sat and meditated on it. When I'm reading Bible, I have a legal pad, and I date it, and then I'll put Psalm, whatever I'm reading that day, and then the next Psalm, the next Psalm, five Psalms, and then I'll go to Proverbs, and I go to Acts, and then I go to other ones, other scriptures. But I write down the things that speak to me the most. Yesterday I was sitting in my office cleaning some things up, and I noticed one of my pads, and I flipped back, October, November, and found some things. And I said, man, that's a great idea for a sermon. I'd written it down, and I'd thought about it, but I've not got to it yet. You need to meditate on the Word of God. Meditate. Study it. One man said meditation is like a cow. Cow, quote unquote, has four stomachs. They go out, they eat, and capture that what they ate into the first stomach, come lay down underneath the tree, and bring it back up, and meditate on it. You say, that's growth. I don't see too many of you turning away a McDonald's hamburger. I will meditate also of all thy works. I've been praying that God would give us city water here. I don't know about you, but boy, I'd sure like to have city water. And I said to the Lord about a couple months ago, I said, Lord, you brought water out of a rock for those Israelis. And you promised that you would not be a respecter person. You brought water out of the rock. How about us? And I've been wanting, really, I really want a carport out in front here to keep the bad weather off when we walk in. And this nice carport out there. And I said, dear God, I said, you built the great temples, and you did great things. Why can't you help us? Yeah. I'm meditating on that. I'm meditating on His Word. Lord, you did this. Why can't you do that for us? Amen. Number five, regarding my home and missionary endeavor. Psalm 71:16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. And what a responsibility we have to tell our friends about Jesus Christ, our missionary endeavor, here and abroad. It's our responsibility. It's your responsibility to tell your friends about Jesus. Someday it's going to be a real sad day when you get to heaven, and that person does not make it there. And they're going to say, why don't you tell me? With regard of home and missionary endeavor, the Bible says, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. God doesn't want you to go by yourself. It's not about you. It's about Him. You're just the messenger. You're just the one telling them about it. You just tell them, hey, I'm going to tell you something right now. How would you like a brand new mansion? How would you like to have streets of gold? How would you like to have your refrigerators full all the time and your freezers full all the time and no taxes and no water bills and no electric bills and no bugs? Amen. Well, you tell them the good news, amen, that Jesus Christ promised you life everlasting. This old life don't last very long. The Bible says our life is like a tale that is told. It's like an eagle hastening to its prey. It's like vapor. God gives us a lot of illustrations of what life is. Life is like grass cut in the morning and withereth the afternoon. Like a flower that dieth away. Life is very short. Eternity is forever and ever and ever. Then regarding my sacrificial service, I guess the thing that I'm concerned about, some Christians think that if you come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, anytime the door is open, you've done your service. No, you've done what God has commanded you to do. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves in the manner some is. Every time the door is open, you should show up. Number one, you're telling everybody, hey, I'm for this place. I'm for this place. Number two, you're saying, hey, I love my preacher. Every time you come here, you say, I love my church that God died on the cross to give it for me. Every time I come to church, I'm telling my neighbors, hey, you know what? My church is the most important thing in my life. And I could give you I watched some guys playing football today. Oh, my goodness. Did you see how some of them were dressed? Some old Michigan boys, they painted all green, and some of them wearing costumes looking like a Trojan, and they're looking like the Spartans, you know, and boy, everybody's dressed like this and dressed like that. And those people, let me tell you something, those people that were in California today, they don't live there. They got on buses. They got on airplanes. They got on everything they could to get there for the game. They spent everything for some of them, spent everything they had just to go watch their ball team play today. And you know what? We say, hey, that's teamwork. That's for the team. You know? Well, what about your church? What about your Savior? Regarding my sacrificial service, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15, and I will get very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Paul says, I know the more I do for you, the less you love me. But he says, you know what? I'm going to change my attitude. I'm going to just keep sacrificing for the Lord God. I'm going to keep sacrificing for Him. Everything you do tonight, folks, is for God. It's not for somebody else. It's for God. You sacrifice. Even a cup of cold water in my name, Jesus said. There is a satisfaction in knowing that these I wills are in the perfect accord with the will of Him who we say, thy will, not mine, be done. And I'd hope that this year, in 2014, that we'd say, you know what? There are some things in my life going to change. I'm going to change in my life the fact that I'm going to praise God all the time. I'm going to spend time in prayer. The Bible said that Daniel spent time three times. Prayer. psalmist, evening and morning and at noon will I pray. I hope that we'd say in this new year, regarding my walk, it's going to be a walk for Jesus. I'm going to walk like Jesus. I'm going to act like Jesus. I'm going to dress like Jesus. I'm going to talk like Jesus. And regarding my meditation in my life in 2014, I am going to meditate on God's Word. I'm going to think about what it means. I'm going to even put it down what it means. I'm going to be thinking about it. I'm going to be meditating on the things that God has for me. This morning I was reading my Bible and I found a couple words in there. It drew my attention and I circled it and put a star by it and put a question by it. And I want to know all the meaning of that word. I want to meditate in the Word of God. I'll guarantee you, when you're meditating the Word of God, you're not conniving. You're saying, this is what you... See, there are some things you're going to do this year that you wish you would have meditated on God's Word and say, you know, probably should have never done that. Boy, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I wouldn't have chose that. I wish I wouldn't have, you know... I wish I would have meditated what God wanted for me to do. And then, regarding my home and missionary, I hope you meditate the fact that you're gonna tell more people about Jesus Christ. You're gonna carry more tracts in your pocket. And lastly, you're gonna be sacrificial in your service. You're gonna forget yourself, but you're gonna think of others. I was praying for my widows today. We have 10 widows in our church now. That's counting Mrs. Raby. She's one of ours, whether she likes it or not. For some of you know her. We have 10 widows in our church. I'm going to be more sacrificial and forget myself and try to help others. There's a lot of people who really need some help. Some don't know which way to turn. Some never checked the oil in their car before. That was Dad's job. Somebody never filled the gas up. You know why? Because that was Dad's job. Never had to have the shovel. Never had to shovel snow. It was Dad's job. Dad's not there anymore. And the Bible said, what's where a man sow he reaps? And if you want someone to be good to your widowed wife someday, it might be a good idea you practice what you preach. I think that's part of meditating. The Bible said what a real Christian is, one who cares for the fatherless and widow who is in need and live on the spot of the world. Father in heaven, I pray you to help us tonight. Help us, Lord God, as we look into these things that really behoove us to move and to do the things that need to be done. Lord, I pray tonight you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray you'd help us to walk close to you, near to you. Lord God, that we would praise your name in every step that we take. Lord God, that we would remember our time of prayer. Lord God, that we would meditate on those things. Lord, that we would sacrifice. We would tell others about you. Lord God, I pray that we'd be a different church in a new year. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, you're dismissed.